You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. My name is Ken Swanson. I'm lead film and draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride. This is the AP Laboratory from day one of the Senior Bowl. We're not in a car. And also, we don't get to just talk about the Senior Bowl because, of course, day one of the Senior Bowl, Bob Sutton gets fired. So we got to start with that.
Thanks a lot, Bob. You ruined another day. We were just going to have a fine day talking about the Senior Bowl, going to practices. You had to go and get yourself fired. Fine, whatever. let's celebrate a little bit. Bob is gone. We all know the past 6 years have not been great on defense. He's had some units that really did step up, but it seemed more like individual performances and talent rather than his scheme really being the thing that brought it all together. And then this year was just kind of an abject failure outside of everything but the pass rush. The Chiefs needed to make this move. They can't waste another year of Patrick Mahomes. So, Bob's gone. He's gone.
Bob can't even get fired right.
He can't even get fired
right. I mean,
right.
Come on.
I refuse to let Bob ruin my Senior Bowl trip. The weather's already trying to get in April there, but I refuse to just handle too much of this Bob talk right now. I'll be more into this once we figure out who's actually being hired, who it's going to be, and there's something to talk about rather than celebrating that Bob's gone, because let's be real, we all knew this was going to happen.
Yeah,
I think Chiefs fans are holding on to this belief that Sutton was going to return because poor Chiefs kind of thing, but there was no way he was coming back after his performance this year. I think you saw down the stretch, even if you were just watching this year, Andy was visibly upset on the sidelines. There were definitely changes happening on the defensive side of the ball to end the stretch of the year with the Seahawks, the Raiders game, then in the Colts game, we kind of lost those changes for the Patriots for whatever reason. But things were trending away from Bob's normal tendencies. Then all of a sudden they came back, complete failure. I mean, this was a foregone conclusion. It just kind of happened to happen at bad times for us down here in Mobile, Alabama.
What was us, right?
Right before we're rained out of a whole day of Senior Bowl practice.
Yeah. Rainstorm Bob has come down on us,
and now
the days that we get to watch practice at the Senior Bowl has been rained out, so we don't even get to watch practice tomorrow. So it's just a treat. I will say this, today was a very good day for us at the Senior Bowl, and we'll get to that in a minute, but we probably just... Throw a few names out, Craig. Throw a few names that you're keeping an eye on. Actually, we just go around the room. Maybe just each of us pick a name.
I mean, I have an article that will probably be up by the time this comes out that recapped five guys that I think are candidates to fill the spot in Kansas City. And I'll just go with the one that I think in-house makes the most sense. It's Mike Smith, outside linebackers coach. He just seemed like the only thing that went right this year, and those guys love him. We've talked about him so many times on this podcast. He just makes way too much sense and just means a little bit more cohesiveness. They get to keep some of the good stuff that did happen this year. There were a couple good things that happened on defense. I think that Mike Smith can come in there, do that. He was a defensive coordinator at Texas Tech for a couple of years before coming to the Chiefs, so he's not completely inexperienced at forming a game plan. I'd like to see him get the reins, even though it's not necessarily a home run hire. I think it's a guy that can really do some good things for the Chiefs.
Yeah, so I had pitched a guy, and I believe Craig did a little bit more research and talked about him on his article coming out, but Matt House, defensive coordinator, he's in Kentucky right now. And I just kind of pulled this name out of thin air. I don't have a real connection for it. There isn't one. I just happened to watch a lot of Kentucky this year preparing for the draft, and I really loved what I saw from their defense. I thought they were really creative. They have guys that have developed well since he's been there. Josh Allen's turned into a great top five kind of draft pick underneath him.
There's a lot of guys at the Senior Bowl here right now.
Yeah, they have three DBs here at the Senior Bowl, and I can't say that any of them look absolutely stellar athletically, but he got them to play great as a unit. And the simple fact that he's able to play off of Josh Allen's talent with the rest of his team, getting free pressure from other guys, was just something that really intrigued me. So that was a free name I kind of just pulled out of nowhere. And then one more. This one's been pitched to me a few times, but Chris Hewitt, defensive backs coach out of the Baltimore Ravens. He was another guy that just kind of popped up there as someone that makes sense. I don't know if it was under Andy Reid, but I do know he has had an internship with the Eagles. He worked under Greg Schiano at Rutgers for a little while. He's had success in the NFL and at the college level coaching. So again, just another kind of random name pulling out of a hat without a real connection. But we lost all the big name guys that have a connection to Andy Reid or the Chiefs at this point in time, being late in the process. So if you're looking outside of Mike Smith in-house, I don't know if you're going to find a direct correlation between anybody.
Right. And you've heard the name John Pagano thrown out there. I don't have a ton of background on John Pagano, except for I know that he was the defensive coordinator for the Chargers for a large stretch of Andy Reid's tenure. I believe he was here from 2012 in L.A. San Diego, from 2012 to 2016. So, you know, maybe this name is a guy that, you know, like if John Pagano is hired tomorrow, it's going to be Andy Reid's going to come out and say, well, doggone it, you know, I had eight games playing against him, and, you know, he was always just really difficult to prepare for,
thinking back on those games, I don't know.
It's going to be something to that effect.
Nothing is greater than Kent's impressions of people either. Everybody should know that.
They're always the worst and yet the best.
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy
does a good job. I love the way Eric Bieniemy says good job. All right, we're going to transition to why we're here in Mobile, Alabama. The Senior Bowl has been a very insane day for us. Day one is crazy. You start with the weigh-ins.
Favorite part?
Obviously Matthew's favorite part. He just sat there and just judged 200 men in their underwear.
I was jealous that I could not get up in my tights as well and walk across the stage.
I tell you what, if I walked across the stage and you called me Hunter Renfro... Everyone would have believed it.
Yeah.
Because Hunter Renfro literally looks like a high school player.
Hunter Renfro doesn't have your hair.
No. Hunter Renfro has
some
like
height on him too.
Hunter Renfro has like very like if Craig were older. And also if Craig tried to keep bangs. Like, that's kind of what...
He's got old man hair.
Visual is great for the podcast.
Oh, it's wonderful. Some guys that physically impressed, Montez Sweat, he looked like an alien. I mean, the guy was long, and he's got 36-inch arms, 250 pounds, is that right? Or is he even higher than that? 6'6". And then another guy, who was it? Terrell Hanks, a linebacker from...
New Mexico State.
But you really liked his friend.
Yeah, no, Terrell Hanks looked like a superhero. He wasn't very big. He was only about 6'2", 230 pounds. So, actually, I think he was under 6'2", even. But he wasn't a big guy. But if you just picture a superhero's body and what that looks like through their nice spandex uniform, that was him walking out across there in his little tights. Unfortunately, his play on the field doesn't match his weigh-in. But it was still, you know, as somebody's got to win the weigh-in every year. Everybody else was on Montez Sweat, and he had a phenomenal frame. He looked really good. But if we're just talking about the guy whose body looked the best, it's Terrell Hanks pretty easily for me.
The one guy that I think everybody is talking about, and I was just really amazed by it, is Donald Parham, the tight end.
Oh, my goodness.
From Stetson. So normally with these kind of things, like there's several instances when we were going through weigh-ins, you know, a guy's listed at 6'2". Like Rock Ya-Sin was listed at 6'2", but he's actually 5'11 and 3/4.
Yeah.
Donald Parham is listed at 6'8". He's actually 6'8 and 3/8. So he's a guy that normally would be listed at like 6'9", 6'10". a huge tight end. It was stunning. There was audible gasps when he came onto the field. It was incredible.
And I mean, Jake is here with us again today. Jake was telling us a little bit about him. You're the expert on him now, right?
Yeah.
Well, you interviewed him.
You interviewed him. I did interview him. He's a large human. he's got like 36-inch arms as well. So you talk about catch radius. You know, at practice today, he went up and climbed the ladder and caught a pass. And in my head, I just thought like, wow, that ball might have been 17 feet in the air. And we'd have no idea. And he just went and casually caught it. He's huge. And we can talk more about him later, about his actual play on the field. Right. But, yeah, definitely people, you know, that was the most chatter that was going on is when Barham came across the stage.
So after the weigh-ins, there was two media sessions. We'll probably maybe carry some of this audio over draft season because I've got, you know, I was able to get a hold of a bunch of prospects. We were all able to get around 25 to 30 prospects, get some sound bites, ask them what it would be like to be a Chief. We asked them, you know, kind of basically what they've been doing in preparation. Some guys that really stood out to me, some of the interviews I really liked. I thought Rock Yasin, the cornerback from Temple, was one of my favorite interviews, and he's a guy I'm a big fan of on the field as well. Mm-hmm. We're all pretty high on him. We have a second round grade on Rock Yasin at this point. Very impressive in the interviews. I really liked Bruce Anderson, the running back from North Dakota State. Talked a little bit to him. I thought he's a guy that's going to be really interesting. I think he's probably he had the best hands in route running on the field. We'll talk about them in a minute. We talked to Nasir Adderley. Yes. I think we all wanted to talk to Nasir Adderley. I think I was actually the first person that interviewed him because I creeped on him because being one of my sons, I saw him walk off into the distance. I think he was trying to avoid this whole thing.
He went to the bathroom and Kent was waiting around the corner and he returned. No, that's what happened.
The bathrooms weren't even like...
Yes, they were there.
Okay. Maybe the... Anyways, he came back into the area and I saw him. I was like, oh, hey, Nasir, okay, you got a couple minutes? Talked to him, notified him that the Chiefs general manager is also a Delaware Blue, and he did not know that. Apparently, he played with a high ankle sprain beginning of the year. They want to see him. I think he's going to line up in nickel some. And he did this week. Mm-hmm. He did today already. But you know, talk a little about him. Really impressed by him. Anybody else that I liked? There were some really good interviews. We talked to Corey Ballantyne, who's a local kid from Washburn, playing cornerback. We'll talk about his performance. He kind of had a rough day, but he grew up in Topeka basically since he's lived in the United States. He came from Jamaica, but he's lived in Topeka basically all this time. One other note about I wanted just to mention, this is the last guy I'll talk about. Chris Boyd interviewed him. He's a cornerback from Texas. He picked off Patrick Mahomes. And we talked a little bit about that. Apparently, him and Mahomes go way back. They had a little bit of conversation about that. It was interesting with kind of talk to Chris Boyd about Patrick Mahomes and some history that they have playing in East Texas together.
So I was able to get a little bit of time with John Kaminsky, edge out of Charleston, small school guy. Not a lot of tape's been available on him, so a lot of people are kind of catching on late. But he was a fantastic interview. We heard a little bit about his background, what he's been up to with his training, guys that he's trying to emulate his game after. He was just a great guy to talk to. And then another person, probably one of my favorite players here, has been Juan Thornhill. I got a good little bit of time with him to talk about. And the biggest thing that he was talking about was just his transition from corner to safety, how he felt like a natural safety his entire career, and how he really relished the ability to take over the communication kind of leadership role once other seniors, safety Quinn Blanding and Micah Kaiser, linebacker, left Virginia last year before his senior season. So those are two big ones. And then I have a couple other guys on here. And like Kent said, we're going to break them out over the time. We're not going to drop every single one of them on everybody right now. But we got some good interviews between all of us, and Craig's going to tell you about a couple guys he was able to snag an interview with, too.
Got to talk to Jalen Jelks, edge player out of Oregon. He also looked long, looked pretty good in weigh-ins as well. He talked about how he had hired a nutritionist and dropped a bunch of weight and then had to put it back on again.
You know, Shane Zimenez had the exact same thing going on.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of nutritionists.
But Jelks said that he models his game after Justin Houston, that Justin Houston's kind of the guy that he looks up to. And so
it doesn't make sense, though.
It doesn't. They're completely different players, but you know, I'm sitting there in Chiefs gear, and maybe you know, maybe he's just being nice.
Very smart. Jalen is very smart.
Yeah, yeah, but he was a cool guy. Rosh Pierschenbacher from center from Alabama. Before I even really brought up the Chiefs, he made sure to note Kansas City barbecue. So
smart man.
So he's a round one grade now. Easy.
Trade the whole draft for him.
Yeah. Cameron Smith, a linebacker from USC, was actually pretty interesting to talk to. He kind of has a lot of ideas of where he should be played. Seems a little rigid, you know, but confident in his abilities. He's a guy that has always shown a lot of talent, just can't ever stay healthy. I mean, he dinged up his fingers today, and we saw him after practice. Wearing some tape on his fingers.
But he also has great hair like Kent.
Oh, he has outstanding hair.
He rivals Kent's hair.
I think the opinions are about to be correctly adjusted for my average due. Because
there's some high quality hair. Yeah.
Yeah, these guys, they're just a top notch. If I had to walk this hair across a stage to get judged, it would not be body beautiful. Let's just say that.
Yeah. You'd get gasps from the crowd for that hair.
Sorry for stealing your...
No, you're good. That's all I was going to do there.
Hey, Jacob, what about you? Is there some guys that you talked to this week or with the interviews here today?
Yeah, the three guys, I tweeted this out. The three guys that stood out the most to me were Foster Moreau, Nasir Adderley was really good, and then Jacoby Myers was really good too. They just were all well-spoken guys, really easy to talk to. You could tell that they had been coached a little bit. Some of the guys, you could tell they're a little bit nervous. They were like Donald Parham. We just talked about him, the tight end from Stetson. It seemed like everything was going a million miles an hour for him, and he looked a little bit uncomfortable. But Foster Moreau, the tight end from LSU. Well-spoken dude, talked about bringing, you know, one of the things he wanted to bring to a team being leadership and work ethic. Nasir Adderley, obviously we've talked about him. And then Jacoby Meyer, the wide receiver from NC State, he was a really interesting guy to talk to as well. He's a quarterback convert, so you could tell he's kind of used to the limelight. He's used to talking to media. So all three of those guys were really well-spoken, really easy to talk to. So they were the three guys that I was most impressed with. It's just from a conversational standpoint.
Jake, we both wound up talking to this year. You said you had an interesting kind of story about one of his interceptions.
Yeah, so Nasir's got a crazy interception. It's from 2017. If you just Google search Nasir Adderley, Odell Beckham Jr. catch, he basically made a very similar one-handed, like falling backwards catch. And so he kind of broke that down and really talked about processing and going through that and talking about how they would practice that, actually. They would practice the one-handed interceptions and stuff. So that was an interesting story that we got from him. And I'm sure we'll get the soundbite up on that eventually. But that was probably the coolest story I got out of anyone. And Nasir is actually Herb Adderley's cousin. So we talked about that as well and how Herb has been really influential in this process for him. You know, of course, Herb Adderley is a cornerback in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So,
of course, I knew that. Definitely knew that.
Oh, he's sure. He's one of the best to ever do it. So, and that's in his bloodline. So
yeah,
that's
really play? Cool. Played in some bum city in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, he played for the Cowboys, too. But yeah, so it was cool that he talked to him. He said he talks to him a couple times a week. So he's got good people in his ear.
Yeah, let's kind of transition to the practices. We've basically, if you don't know how the Senior Bowl is set up, there's two practices back to back. They're split up. The roster split up north and south. The south went first, and you got to see that that group was coached by the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan.
Who some of you may have heard the clip of him dropping some profanity on national television.
I think that happens every year with the Senior Bowl. Yeah,
absolutely,
it feels like it happens every year, but. I thought, first off, I will just add this. San Francisco's practices were much more well-run
night and day
than Jonathan Gruden and the Raiders. So, you know,
I will rant about that at some point in time. We're going to push it off until we get to their practice, but there will be a big rant going on about Gruden's practice structure.
Oh, this will be delightful. I'm just going to sit back and listen. You think Matt gets passionate about something,
yeah,
he might take us all the way into that practice that we don't get to watch tomorrow.
We got to kill time somehow, right?
But with the South, I think we should start with the most impressive receiver for the day. A guy Jake's really high on, Deebo Samuel, wide receiver from South Carolina.
Yeah, Deebo gets open. And you might just want to start calling him 7-Eleven because he's always open. And no one's ever heard that one before, right?
I've never heard that one.
Just made that one up right now.
Never.
No, Deebo. Actually, you know, Deebo coming into it, doing my initial grades on all the Senior Bowl receivers, he was actually my third, and that's something I'm gonna have to go back and look at. And it was funny today. John Ledyard actually tweeted out the biggest knock I had on Deebo coming in is when you watch him, he doesn't like to block. And if he's not involved in the play, he runs his routes really lazily. So today, really, he looked good because, one, they threw the ball to him a ton in 7-on-7s, and then it was 1-on-1 drills. So that stuff didn't show up as much. But John Ledyard tweeted out today that when he was talking to him, he asked Deebo, he said, what would you say is your self-described biggest weakness? And Deebo just straight up said, well, my biggest weakness is blocking. I just don't really have like a want-to attitude towards blocking. And so
this is my kind of guy.
He's wide receiver one.
And like, so
trade the farm for him.
So yeah, I mean, so at least he was honest. He knows he just doesn't like blocking. And
he doesn't care.
It shows. But you know what? But like when you watch him on one on ones, he's got the quick feet. He's got the subtleness in his routes to turn people around. I think he even turned Rocchio around today.
Oh, he did.
Rock Yussin.
I kind of want to call him Rocky.
Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he was very impressive today. He caught everything. I think one thing that he also showed was his ability to get vertical as well, which is a question I had for him. But he checked a ton of boxes today. So yeah, I think, like you said, he was the most impressive wide receiver here today on either team.
He wasn't the only pass catcher that was pretty impressive today.
Not even on the South team.
No, Josh Oliver and Foster Moreau, both tight ends. Oliver comes from San Jose State. He was a guy I was really trying to track down during media day and could not find him. I don't know where he went, but
he's a big guy to hide from you.
Big guy, moves real well, strong hands, natural catcher of the football. I was really impressed with him. He's a guy I have a feeling when we really get down to grading, he's going to wind up being a round two, round three kind of grade.
Woo!
I think he's going to be a day
tight end class.
I know. Well, here's the thing about the tight end class, and you might as well just get used to that because this conversation is going to happen a lot. I think it already happened yesterday. The tight end class is absolutely loaded, and there's a ton of talent. There's a ton of second, third round talents. There's first round talents, obviously, and that talent's going to get pushed down the board into situations where it makes sense for the Chiefs to take a guy like Foster Moreau or Oliver. Moreau, not quite the athlete Oliver is, I don't think.
No. Oliver is more of like a move tight end that you can keep in line and he will block. But I think especially from my initial grades on both of them, I do have a third-round grade on Josh Oliver coming into this week.
There you go.
So I think he could definitely land in that spot. And just because he's got a third round grade doesn't mean he's going to go in the third round. This is a really deep class.
Yeah. It could be really good value on the late second, early third. It was like last
day.
Week.
Third, I'm not talking round, I'm talking day.
Right.
You know?
Ian Thomas. I thought he shouldn't have gone day three and he did.
But Foster Moreau, I thought he was impressive too.
Yeah,
he's more of a nuanced route runner, I thought, today. He really just kind of showed up in that regards. He doesn't create a ton of separation, but he's a big body, and he really uses his body well to shield defenders, and he makes contested catches really well. I thought he had a really good day. And the guy that Kent doesn't want to talk about because he's our age, Dax Reynolds?
Raymond.
Dax
you don't even know his name.
Well, I know he's old. Dax Raymond from Utah State, I thought he did a nice job of getting behind the defense a couple times today. I would probably rank him third behind those two guys as tight ends.
I think he's a day three guy.
Yeah.
Still.
He's, you know, he's going to be, you know, we joke, but he's going to be a 27-year-old rookie.
You just hope that he lives to day three. I mean, let's be honest. Craig, we saw Rock Ya-Sin.
We did out there.
What do you think of Rock Ya-Sin?
I thought Rock looked really good. He kind of checked all the boxes in his way in. He's a little shorter than what he was projected, but when he got on the field, he still plays really big. He's a very physical guy, and I got to sit and talk to Rock for a little bit as well, and one of the things that he said that they told him that they wanted to work on was his coverage in off man, something that they wanted to see a little bit more of. When he was in off man, he's a little bit more uncomfortable, and he got beat a couple times, especially by Debo. But it's a situation where when they had him up on the line, he could get his hands on the receiver. He was able to really get a good jam. He was able to run with guys down the field. He looked really good. He looked like we thought he would. And then another guy that we thought looked pretty good, Isaiah Johnson out of Houston. He is very slight of frame. Like His calves
and knees.
It's almost like a toothpick coming out of his shoes all the way up past his knee into his thigh. There's no definition at all. So he's just a very slight of frame guy, but he, I believe, clocked the fastest time of that practice for anybody that was out there. Very quick guy, very long guy, somebody to keep an eye on maybe as a day three guy.
Maddie, you got a chance to kind of look at O'Shane Zimenez, take a look at the edge prospects. Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, O'Shane Zimenez from Old Dominion, Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech. What did you think of those three guys?
Yeah, so I spent most of my time watching the one-on-ones or just kind of the pass rushers and the offensive linemen against each other. Especially with those three guys, there's a little bit of second-round hype on all three of them, so I was excited to see what we were going to get against a pretty strong offensive tackle class. And I wasn't underwhelmed by any of them, but none of them blew me away. I think Montez Sweat, combined with kind of the tape and then his body, his frame, and everything, he's still the number one guy. He does a great job using his length. He knows what he's trying to do each and every single rep. He's got a good counter plan if a tackle sets against him. He might lose a rep, but he'll come right back with the perfect counter to how he lost last time. So he's just a very smart pass rusher. He knows what he's doing. His experience really shows. Jalen Ferguson, on the other hand, another guy with a lot of experience, but he plays at a little bit more frantic of a pace. His arms are always moving, which does a good job keeping his chest clean. And he really just wins through power through his punch. He has powerful hands. He tries to hit somebody with it, but he doesn't always do a good job creating a soft corner and then being able to take that corner. I really want to see more about him through his ankles and hips. I just want to see some flexibility to turn the corner later on in the week. And Zimenez is the kind of the guy that I think showed the highest ceiling. He had the best outside kind of speed pass rush. He showed the ability to flatten his back, turn the corner a little bit. And as long as he can just kind of do a good job keeping guys out of his chest, being a smaller school guy, he needs to see this competition a little bit more. But those three guys definitely showed well. And then just one other guy on the inside, Daylon Mack got called up from the Shrine game, but he had some reps out here that were as good as anybody as far as pass rushers. He fired off the ball and just completely flattened the center from Alabama in about 1.5 seconds and just ran right over him. And just about every rep was just an offensive center or guard trying to hold on for dear life as he did that. This is a guy that was a 5-star recruit. I believe he was the number one recruit in the country when he came out of high school. And just it didn't really click until this year. But he had a much better year, senior year, and he's really starting to turn it on now.
We'll just move on to the North Pack practice. We got some guys we want to talk about there for sure. And we'll give Matthew a second here real quick to explain what you thought of how John Gruden ran the North practice.
So from what I gather with these Senior Bowl practices, from watching them on TV and Kyle Shanahan's, you get your little warm-ups in, you go through a couple solo drills to get guys warmed up and feeling good, and then you kind of break off into one-on-ones or specific position groups versus each other. You're essentially showcasing these guys' skills for the NFL. You're not trying to practice to win a football game. You're not trying to work on team chemistry or cohesion. We don't need to see end arounds or fullback power. We just want to see what these guys look like. We're trying to address their skills and their traits, see what they're good at. And Gruden's out here running special teams drills, second on the docket. He's out here doing punt coverage and some skipping drills that are just like fundamentals.
I like the fundamental footwork drills that they did. And the find the ball drills for the defensive backs. That's good stuff. Real good stuff. I like that a third of his practice was dedicated to fundamentals.
Right. They did 9-on-7. But they did a full 9-on-7.
Yeah, so they did 9-on-7. Like, we're talking, we're at the Senior Bowl here, and he's running 9-on-7, which is just pretty much 9 defenders, use everybody but 2 cornerbacks, and then you got your run personnel from the offense, and you're just running the ball over and over. This is what a 10-minute chunk of the practice was spent on, doing 9-on-7. Then there was one-on-ones going on then. They broke that up and then went into these fundamental drills about DBs and wide receivers hand-fighting downfield and finding the ball. And then they were practicing special teams. And then even once the full team period started, he started it off with a trick play. Every single pass play they ran was off of play action or some kind of read play. And you just can't get a feel for what anybody can do against the pass, which is what matters in the NFL anymore.
Speaking of that end-around trick play that they started the practices off, Jake, it was wide receiver Andy Isabella from UMass. I know that's a guy you were really interested in seeing heading into this thing.
Yeah, I had like a really kind of like a low grade on him initially, mostly because I just couldn't really get a feel on him. And well, one, he's 5'8", like 180, so he's a small guy, so I have a hard time like really loving small guys on tape. But watching him live, he's fun. Like, he's actually pretty well built for a small guy, and getting close enough to the field and hearing his feet, when he chops his feet in and out of his routes and at the top of his routes, it's like being at a rock concert. It's just like, boo, 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 boo. I mean, they're quick. They're maybe, boo, boo, boo,
boo, boo, boo. No,
Phil Collins. No, not Phil Collins.
That's what I had in my head. That was more Parham. We'll get to Parham in
more,
a second.
Yeah, like, gosh. But he's got quick feet.
He's got very quick feet.
And he's a future New England Patriot.
He caught the ball well. He looked like he really showed vertical speed too. So I think he's a guy. He's not. I just don't buy into the fact. Or people. Some people say he might be able to play on the outside. I don't. I'm not there yet. But I'm definitely gonna have to go back and change his grade up a little bit after seeing him live today. He was good.
5'8" to 6'8". Parham. What'd you think of Parham?
Parham is catch radius. He catches. Like I said, he can catch the ball 25 feet off the ground. He can, once he gets the ball in his hands, he can turn up the field and run. It's scary. His legs are, he's very skinny in his legs. He looks like a basketball player. He's actually about the same size as Carmelo Anthony. When you break down how tall and how much they weigh and all that stuff, Matt pointed this out, and it was obvious. But when he's in a three, A, it's hard for him to get in a three-point stance. B, if you want to negate him getting up the field and getting into a route, any one of us four sitting in this room could stand over the top of him, probably in a three-point stance, and just make him not go anywhere.
Pull his jersey slightly forward. Yeah, and
he has to lean so far over because his lower body is so tall.
So he's got things that are going to make NFL teams drool, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But he is a project. He is very much so a project right now.
We'll talk a little bit about Nasir Adderley. I didn't see much out of him today. I mean, it wasn't bad. He wasn't just like making a ton of plays. They were using him all over the field. So I think Adderley can do a lot of different things. I like him as a single high, but he played out in the nickel. He played in the box. I thought he had pretty good play recognition. He put a couple plays in the box, a little play action, really good job there. When it came to one-on-ones, I thought he struggled in man coverage. He got bullied at the top of routes with tight ends. I think Foster Moreau got him once. Parham got him once, too.
Sweeney from Boston College.
Yeah, I mean,
the big guys.
Any big guys. And then I think they even put him up against, like, Isabella. And Isabella got him a couple times. I got him once. So, I mean, there was some struggles there. I mean, he's not refined, but, like, I still love him. I still think he's a good football player.
You have to keep in mind, too, that it's been, like, the team drills are more concerning because that's more of a replication of what a game-like action is. Mm-hmm. One-on-one drills are geared 80-20 towards the offense.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to win a one-on-one drill as a defender and win it cleanly. But I thought he did fine. You know,
I thought he was sound in team drills. He was sound in team drills. He was fine. They were just asking him to do a lot of different things. So, like, I think that was kind of part of it. Craig, from the cornerback position, I mean, we saw a little bit of Amani Oruwariye.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? It is only January, and I got that name down, buddy. What do you think about Amani?
Amani,
the Penn State cornerback, I should have said that.
And down. He really can run with guys. They are working with him really hard on press man. Again, he's a zone cover guy, mostly good ball skills. But he really showed good footwork out of man. A couple reps against Jalen Mills that were Jacoby Meyer. My goodness, I'm so sorry. Jacoby Meyer got the better of him. Just coming in and out of his breaks a little bit. He wasn't able to keep up. He got spun around bad once. I believe that video was kind of making the rounds there on Twitter. But he did have a few good reps against Meyer in one-on-one, able to turn with him, get a good jam, and kind of squeeze the boundary and force him out of bounds and force a bad throw. So he's still a guy that I'm looking at that I think can really contribute, that is, you know, a potential day two guy that the Chiefs could pick up.
And before we move on to Max, I think he'll talk more about the trench guys, but I do want to talk about Jacoby Meyer. Just because he's approaching Sun status for me at the wide receiver position. He's a guy, he was my top Senior Bowl receiver coming in. And outside of Debo today, I thought Jacoby Meyers, the wide receiver from NC State, was just a notch below him. He caught everything that came his way. The reason I might even like him a little bit more than Debo, just because he measured in at a legit 6'2 today. And also, he's relatively new to the wide receiver position. He came into NC State as a quarterback. So he's a guy that I think his upside is very high. I was actually really impressed today with his ability to defeat press coverage. So he's someone that is worth keeping an eye on the rest of the week. Oh, wait, we won't really get to see him the rest of the week. But he's someone worth keeping an eye on throughout the process. It'll be interesting to see how he runs and works out and all that stuff.
And I did like that they purposefully put Oruwariye and him against each other in one-on-ones repeated. Like, they weren't trying to get looks at other people. They wanted that matchup. I really liked that they did that.
Maddie, I wanted to ask you, because I know you paid attention to LJ Collier, you paid attention to Kalen Saunders. Those are a couple of guys that you kind of liked during the practices this week.
Yeah, so LJ Collier's a TCU edge player, and most people know Ben Benogu, who's also the kind of more popular edge player there. He was actually working with the off-ball linebackers. I'm not sure about that decision. That's another Gruden head-scratcher for a guy that it's like prototypical edge-size, 3-4 outside linebacker-looking guy. But we'll get back to that. But LJ Collier, he's a little bit more stout. He plays a little bit more physical, plays much better against the run. But every time I peeped over towards the trench players, whether it be the one-on-ones or during team drills, he's in the backfield. He's getting to the quarterback or the flag that they have marking the quarterback. He actually started a little bit of a fight because after back-to-back good plays by the defense, he was just in the ears of the offensive linemen. And just the way he plays that kind of physical brand of nature, him getting chirping in people's ears get them a little bit more upset. So he started a little mini scrum, and then he still proceeded to have a pretty good day the rest of the way. And then Kalen Saunders is just had a kid, so congratulations to him. He has a wife who actually went into labor, or girlfriend or wife went into labor fiance. While we were there. Fiance. Yeah. There we go, Craig. Thank you. And he decided to stay. He talked to her. She agreed. Her mom was there. He stayed because he knows he needs to do it. Talked to him a little bit about it. He needed to be here to show off because he's a small school guy. He needed to play against these guys. And he showed well. He looks like he belongs here. He has a great first step. A little bit of lateral agility for a guy his size. And he might not ever be a full, like, three-down player in the NFL just based on some size limitations. He's a little short, but he's got some moves as a pass rusher, and he was given some of these really good interior guys on this North squad, a little run for their money. And just one other quick thing I want to talk about, I spent a lot of time kind of watching linebackers of this group just because they were in front of me, and there were some guys that moved well. Drew Tranquil moves really well for a linebacker. He's a little older. Injury history again, but he does move really well. I kind of like
good
him.
Good instincts, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I like him more than Tevon Coney out of Notre Dame. Coney just looked a lot like Reggie Ragland when I picture going to drills, just a little bit shorter. I don't know if that's another thing we're going for. And then I am really intrigued by Sutton Smith. He got some pass rush reps in one of the ones. They went very poorly.
You went against Caleb McGarry.
Caleb McGarry, who's probably the most physical, like, powerful, dominating offensive tackle here, and he literally got thrown down like I was trying to block my 2.5-year-old daughter. Back-to-back plays. No problem. I mean, everybody knows Sutton Smith isn't a big guy. There is a reason he was doing all off-ball linebacker drills until that point.
He's 6 foot tall.
He moved really well. He's still even small for inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's still figuring out what to do, but he seems very coachable. He was learning as he went, and he's a very fluid mover. He changes directions well, has some good burst, so I'm excited to see him. He actually did have a couple reps back-to-back against Parham in team drills where he was lined up as the Sam. We talked about Parham being a little slow out of a stance, so take it for what you will, but he was able to pretty much just scoot right by him as the Sam get into the backfield and kind of disrupt the run a little bit. So it's just a guy I'm interested to see his development as the week goes on, playing more reps at off ball.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us. We are exhausted. It's been a huge day. Thank y'all for listening. We might be back tomorrow. We'll kind of keep this plan fluid as far as what we'll do. We will do one more pod, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow. Whether it's tomorrow, whether it's the day after. We'll figure it out. But thanks for listening, and we will talk to you later.
Let's go get beer.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
We're back for season 3, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.